I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Up next, Out Loud with John O'Caldwell, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
If brutal honesty makes you uncomfortable, then this podcast isn't for you. Because today, you're going to hear some straight talk from someone who isn't afraid to tell it like it is. Passionate, blunt, conservative, patriotic, the outspoken Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, is in the house, a rising superstar in the Republican Party who has taken the GOP by storm. This is Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell. Lieutenant Governor, it's really a pleasure to have you. I've learned about you recently, and I follow your Facebook page, and I've been seeing the videos, and I get really excited and fired up when I hear you speak. So thank you for all you're doing, not just for the party, but the country.
Well, thank you for having me here. We appreciate all those kind words. We certainly do. Thank you.
Absolutely. Before we get into politics and the issues of the day, I want to talk to you about your upbringing. I know you faced adversity with an abusive father and you found yourself in foster care. Tell us what life was like growing up. Where were you raised? How did you overcome a rough childhood?
Well, I was born and raised in Greensboro, North Carolina. My childhood, when I look back on my childhood, I had a happy childhood, but it was rife with all those things. My father was never abusive towards me or my siblings, but he was very abusive towards my mother. They had a very contentious, very violent relationship. He was an alcoholic, and he died when I was around 12. When I was 12. I was in the fifth grade when he died. That left my mom with five children in total. All of us were in school, ranging from 12th grade to first grade. She had a choice. She could either go to work or go towards welfare. She chose to work. She was a custodian. She did that for almost 30 years. She was a custodian. And that's how she took care of us. And I saw her have her priorities in order and do things on that custodian salary that the people would say was impossible, but she did it. And that taught me a great deal about what it takes to make it in life. What it takes to make it in life is for you to go out and earn your own living and forge your own destiny. And that's what my mom did, and that's the example she showed us. She also had a very strong faith in God, which that sustained her as well. So it was the primary source of her strength, as a matter of fact. So that was what my upbringing was like, and that's what I learned. And this, like I said, it's what helped lead me to where I am right now.
Wow. And the faith in God, I think, is the critical point. And I've seen you talk about that in viral clip after viral clip about how you believe and why you believe. And why you believe this is the best country in the entire world, and how God, Jesus, has really had his hands on America.
Right.
Can you expound on that, please?
Well, people don't like to admit it. You know, a lot of people that don't like to admit the fact that the reason why this country has been blessed is because people prayed for God to bless this nation. We say it in our songs. You know, we say it in our founding documents. We say it everywhere you turn around. We always give God credit for what he's done and what he can do and what he will do. And I think because of that, he hears it and he blesses it. And of course, we're not perfect people. We're not perfect people. We're not a perfect nation. We never have been, and we don't claim to be. But we ultimately know who he is we have to answer to. And we know who it is that we owe the credit to. And that's who we give that credit to. And as far as this being the greatest nation on earth, I don't see – I read this morning on social media, and it's true. America is so great that even the people that hate America won't leave. That's how great America is. The people who claim to hate it won't leave. This is still the greatest nation on earth, still the place where you can make dreams come true. And that's just the way it is. The proof is, like they say, the proof is in the pudding.
Indeed it is. And like I mentioned before, viral video after viral video, you really arrived on the national scene for a lot of people in 2018 And it was because of a viral video of you defending gun rights in the Second Amendment at a meeting at the Greensboro City Council. And that got you noticed. And from what I understand from watching an interview with you and Governor Mike Huckabee, it got over 200 million views, he said.
Yes.
I mean, from there, I mean, you talked about what people told you you could do in terms of creating a brand for yourself and and making a lot of money because you're this, you know, this fresh star before millions of people. But you chose to serve instead. What got you into politics?
I've been politically aware, what I call politically aware, for many, many years. That started way back in the mid-90s, I guess. I had a friend who challenged me to think better and, you know, to do my own research, and I did that. And once I did, I found out that I was conservative, and I always had been a conservative. And then I started looking at the two parties, the Republican Party, Democratic Party, and learning about the differences between the platforms and the differences between the histories of the two parties. And of course, I logically fell on the right hand side with the Republican Party. And so I like to tell folks, you know, being involved in politics is not really, well, you have an option, but here are the options. You can make the determination of how you're governed and who governs you, or somebody else can make that determination. And if somebody else is making that determination, it's probably not going to turn out good for you. The founders made this country so that the people could decide who it is that would govern them. And when we don't take that responsibility serious, we end up with people who don't have our best interests at heart. We need to make sure that we take it serious, and politics needs to be something that we all need to be involved in. And that's, like I said, that's the reason I got involved.
Absolutely. And I love your story. It reminds me of my own, which I talk about in my book, Taken for Granted. Love to send you a copy of that. But yeah, just learning the distinctions between the parties and realizing that oftentimes, especially as Black conservatives, I'm not sure what your experience and upbringing was, but mine on the south side of Chicago, I realized quickly after I researched the two-party systems and the history that we largely had been lied to about the Republican Party and the history. Democrats had did such a brilliant marketing job to make people think that the Republican Party was just a racist party. They created slavery, Jim Crow, and all these other things. And to find out, none of that was true. It was actually the Democratic Party was pretty astounding to me. It made me really question the people that were around me. Did you have the same experience?
Yeah. Well, honestly, yeah. I mean, you know, when you really look at the stories and you're just blown away by how much misinformation there is out there, you know. One small thing you could take out of that. You look at something like the epithet that's thrown, Uncle Tom. People throw that as an epithet, and many of the people that use that word don't have a clue as to where it came from. They don't understand anything about who the character Uncle Tom was in the book and what he did.
Exactly.
They don't understand at all that Uncle Tom was somebody who sacrificed his life because he refused to turn over two runaway girls who had run away from the horrible master, Simon Legree. They don't have a clue that in that book that he was beaten to death by two other Black slaves who would do anything up to and including beating a good man to death at the behest of Simon Legree, the evil master. When you read that book and you understand that book, it's one of the books that opened my eyes up more than anything about what you just said about how the Democratic Party and the leftists have turned this entire thing around. You can see a microcosm of all their lives and coming to understand what that book and that name represents. And that's just one example of the way that folks have been lied to, and this whole thing has been turned upside down on its head.
And of course, we're talking about from a historic perspective, but those lies continue today.
Absolutely.
And I want to play this audio for you that Majority Whip James Clyburn was just on MSNBC. And he was talking about the defund the police movement, which we know a lot of progressives, folks just generally on the left, said was the best way in terms of creating more fairness and equality when it comes to policing in America, and what they believe is the best route forward. If you would just take a listen, I want to get your response on the other side.
Defund the police is a non-starter, even with Black people. And if you don't think that's true, then look at the results of what just happened in New York City's election. So the proof is in the pudding. I know what I'm talking about. I talk to people every day. And defund the police is a chokehold. around the Democratic Party.
What do you think about that from Majority Whip Clyburn?
It just goes to show you how ludicrous the statement is. Defund the police. You know, even if this guy, a progressive Democrat, is saying it's harmful, it's, again, I've told somebody this. Everything that the left has touted, they've touted climate change. All the predictions they've made about climate change have not come true. They're now touting critical race theory. We know those things are not true. They now touted defunding the police. We see the horrible effects of that. Everything that they tout, it's almost like a collection of I told you so's. We conservatives were screaming from the rafters, if we continue this anti-police rhetoric, we're going to see crime go through the roof. It's going to go through the roof. And what has happened? Crime has gone through the roof. So, you know, it's actually shocking to hear him say that. Admit that in public, but he's absolutely right. It is one of the dumbest things, one of the top five dumbest things I think has ever been proposed in my lifetime and possibly in the history of this nation.
We're talking to Mark Robinson, the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina and a rising superstar within the GOP. We've got much more with him right after a quick break.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on, but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
You know what's interesting to me, and I got to tell you, and I'm going to be just straight up honest with you. There's, you know, obviously a lot of figures in the Republican Party, but you, in my opinion, you and Ron DeSantis are the most exciting two people in the Republican Party, and I think have the most robust opportunity for the party. I listened to speeches of yours, and it sounds like a Baptist preacher. And I'm going to tell you, I think that the words in which you use and the way in which you disseminate your message is one in which would resonate with all coalitions, all constituencies, Black folks, white folks, Hispanic folks, whatever. You're just a truth teller. Why do you think your star has risen so quickly in the GOP and nationally?
It's a matter of people have been hungry for somebody to stand up and just tell the truth. And too many people are afraid to stand up and tell the truth. You know, we see it all the time. We see folks that, you know, you know what's right. You know, people know exactly what's right. And you have a room full of people sitting in a whether it be a school board, whether it be a city council, whether it be Congress. And everybody in the room will know what the right thing to do is. And nobody will stand up and do the right thing. That's what we need in this country. We need people that are unafraid to stand up and just tell the truth. And sometimes, yeah, the truth hurts and the truth sounds ugly, but sometimes it just needs to be told. And that's what people want to hear. They want to hear somebody tell the truth. You know, I've told people several times, you know, my goal is not to get elected in any office. That's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to lead people with the truth, to let people hear the truth. And if they don't want, if they want to reject the truth ones, then so be it. So be it. Reject the truth. But that's going to be what I'm going to tell people all the time. And that, it turns out that that's what the majority of people out there, they want to hear.
Absolutely, it is. Now, you're Lieutenant Governor now in North Carolina. The governor is a Democrat. You're well-respected. Now, tell me, why did you choose to run for Lieutenant Governor?
Well, we looked at running a lot of offices, a lot of different offices, and when we looked at this office in particular, we thought it would, you know, it suited our skill set just right. What the job entails, you know, a lot of what this job entails is having what they call a bully pulpit to be able to push back against things and push for things that you stand for. And we said, hey, you know, we're pretty good at that. I think we'll try to step into this role. And so far, we've done well at it. And we're going to continue to try to do well at it because, you know, the state is doing well right now. The doing very good, but I believe this state can do a whole lot better in the future. But I think what it's going to take to do a whole lot better in the future is to continue with the conservative principles that have gotten us to this point. And we decided to get in here and help these conservatives here in North Carolina to help fight to make this state even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I tell you, people don't just love you. They're genuinely excited about your political future. So with that being said, what is your future in the GOP? Do you have any aspirations beyond lieutenant governor at this point?
Well, we're sitting down with our folks and we're talking about what we think the next step, the next best step will be. We haven't determined that yet, but as soon as we do, we're going to let the people know, and we're going to try to rally whoever it is we need to rally to get to that point. But we, like I said, we have not made that decision firmly yet, but we will here pretty soon.
Okay, so not firmly, but I have to ask, and I'm sure a lot of people are asking you this question. Mm-hmm. What about 2024? If not the top job, that being president, would you consider being someone's running mate if they asked you? Maybe Ron DeSantis if he was to choose to run.
Well, you know, right now nothing is off the table. What I want to do is I want to go to a place where we can be the most effective for the causes that we believe in. And if that should happen to be, no matter what where that place might be, we're offered something of that nature, we would evaluate it, and if we feel like that it was good with me, good with my family, and good with God, we'd go that direction. But what we want to do is find us a place where we're going to be the absolute most effective.
Absolutely, and I can appreciate that. And I'm glad that you're thinking about that, because there's a lot of folks I'm sure would put a lot of time and energy behind your candidacy with whatever role you may choose. I want to switch gears and move to President Biden. You said last month that President Biden and his administration are turning America into a socialist hellhole, and you urge fellow Republicans to run to the trouble. What did you mean by that?
Don't turn away from it. Don't run away from it. Run to it. There's trouble. There's, you know, we have enemy inside our camp. We have an enemy that's no longer outside the gate. They are inside the wire. They are actively working against this nation, I believe, to bring this nation down, to bring what Barack Obama called fundamental change to our system of government and to our way of life. We have to actively go to those people and confront those people and confront that problem. We have to work to make sure we get those people out of office, and we have to work to make sure we get people in office that are going to have this country's best interests at heart, i.e. making sure that capitalism, our Constitution, and all the good things that come from it continue to stand in this nation. So we need to confront it headlong. We do not need to be afraid. This whole thing is shrinking away and hoping that somebody else will do it. That time is over. We got to step up and we got to take this call, Roman. We got to be the ones to do it.
Mark, I absolutely agree with you. Let's dig into that further after a break.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
What are your thoughts of the current Republican Party? Because I'll tell you, you know, Democrats, in spite of their failings and all this other stuff, policy, we can talk about the culture wars, we can talk about any number of things. They seem to be kind of tough in a way that they'll lie, cheat, steal. It doesn't matter. And they'll look you in the face and say, oh, no, Republicans want to defund the police, not us. Like, it's like, no, Republicans were the party of slavery, not us. No, like they would say all these different things, which they just said something 3 months ago or maybe even the day before. They don't have a problem doing any of those things. And we got some Republicans. I think back to the Hunter Biden situation, Hunter Biden using the N-word. We see what happened with a congressman when he said something about white supremacy to the New York Times. When did white supremacy become a bad thing, white nationalism or something like that, he said. Anyway, they stripped him of his committee assignments, essentially put him out the party. Hunter Biden, you know, no comments from the White House, no comments from any Democratic leader. You see Sheldon Whitehouse, the senator, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, belonging to a, quote, as it was reported, an all-white social club, a white-only, that's what it was called, a white-only social club, and they won't say anything about it. But, you know, Republicans, we got to do the right thing, put folks out the party, and, you know, they can do and say whatever they want. What does the party need to do? And that's right, the right thing to do. Let me comment on that. But what is it that the Republican Party need to do in this day and time when you got so many lies coming from the left and also the liberal media who perpetrate those same lies?
They have to be bold in telling the truth, just like President Trump was. President Trump wasn't afraid to stand up and tell the truth. That's why people love it. I mean, there are too many folks who say, well, you know, we shouldn't say that because that'll have the wrong kind of tone. Look, how do you call somebody a liar if somebody's a proven liar? The only way to call that person a liar effectively is to say, hey, you're a liar. You know, if somebody's a proven bigot and has proven it time and time again that they have said bigoted things and have pushed bigoted policy, how do you call that person a bigot? You say, hey, this person is a bigot who pushed bigoted policies. It's time for conservatives to stop being timid with the truth. I say it like this. We got to be as bold with the truth as they are with their lies. And oftentimes we are not. We tiptoe around things and we don't want to attack. We don't want to punch. And to be quite frankly, we don't want to kick. Sometimes we need to do all of that and more. Because there are people out there right now that are doing things that are absolutely egregious. These people out here that are pushing CRT and pushing defund the police and have already openly claim to be so, and already openly, proudly proclaim to be socialists, and tell us that they want to change the minds of our children, and tell us they want to bring the country down. We need to fight those folks with everything that we have, and those people that are not doing it should be ashamed of themselves.
I can agree with that. I appreciate that sentiment. And thank you for mentioning CRT, also known as critical race theory, for those who may not know. I want to ask you another question about a statement you made last month. You said the following: the government cannot give the American dream. What the government will give you is false hope, and that will give you a nightmare. The American dream only comes through hard work, steadfastness, and standing up and controlling your own destiny, not allowing the government to do that, but doing it yourself. I agree with that message wholeheartedly. What can be done to push more Black Americans to fully embrace this message and stop voting for the big government Democrats and start voting for conservatives?
One of the things we can do is, you know, we can remind folks of their history. You know, it's funny. When things in this nation were at their worst for Black people were at their best. When we were in our own neighborhood, and we were confined to those neighborhoods by segregation, when we were on our own schools, and we were confined to those schools by segregation, we had 70-80% homes with two parents. We had doctors, lawyers. We were building schools. We built churches. We built whole communities. Those trends started to change once we turned our power over to the federal government and start believing that the federal government was in control of our destiny. Our fortunes started to change. The single parenthood started going through the roof. Crime in our neighborhoods start going through the roof. Our education numbers start dropping dramatically. In order to get those things back, we've got to understand that we are not to rely on the federal government. We are to rely on each other, on our families, on our communities. Sure, the federal government has a role to play because they set the rules. They make the rules, so to speak. And they're supposed to be the guardians of our Constitution that keep our freedoms. But the real question is not what the federal government will do for you, is what will you do with the rights that you have? That's the real question. And that's what we've got to get back to. Not even what you can do for your country, really, because we want to do for our country. But I believe that the best thing that you can do for this country, the best thing you can do for your state, your city, and your neighborhood and your family, is by understanding that you have to do what's right with your rights. And if you do that, I think that we get folks to really believe in that and do that. I think that's how we get back to that good place we were once in.
Now, before I let you go, and thank you for that, for sharing that with me, or with us rather, before I let you go, I know you're a man of faith. You've been vocal about it. I want to ask you just two questions here. It's a two-part question. I want to know, what role does your faith play in your life and in your politics? And does it concern you that it seems to be that our country is becoming increasingly secular and outright hostile to faith?
Well, you know, wisdom comes from faith. Wisdom comes from God. Where there's no God, there's no real wisdom. That's the bottom line. Where there is no God, there's no wisdom. Because the very first step in wisdom is having a fear of God. That's the very first. That's the very first step in wisdom. So where there's no faith in God, there's no wisdom. And I'm convinced of that. You can see it in the chaos that's been bred in our school system that has pushed God out of the public square. Which leads me to the second part of that. The more we continue to push God and the principles of God out of the public square, out of politics, out of education, out of mass media, out of all of our businesses, we're just going to see more and more chaos. Never in my lifetime would I would have thought that human beings would be confused about whether or not somebody is a man or a woman. But here we are. And why are we there? We're there because people simply refuse to acknowledge God's creation. Simple creation. There are men and there are women, and people refuse to acknowledge that. And because of that, we're now living in the age of chaos.
Right again. Well, you know what? I want to tell you, I thank you for giving us some time today to learn more about you. And I know for those who don't, and this is their first opportunity to learn about you, I'm sure they're going to want to learn more about you. Can you tell us if you got anything planned in North Carolina that folks at home should know about, and where should people stay updated? Is it Facebook, or how can they be in touch in that way to follow what you're doing?
People can keep up with us on Facebook at Mark Robinson, and they can keep up with us at on Facebook at Mark Keith Robinson. That's my personal page. They can also keep up with us on Twitter at Mark Robinson NC, and we're also on we're on Instagram as well. But I'm not sure of the address because I very rarely go on Instagram. But we do have a page there. From what I understand, we have a pretty strong following there. So. You can keep up with us on all those social media platforms. And like I said, we just are happy to have the support of the people out there and continue to want to do things to keep that support.
Amen. And I certainly follow you on Facebook. And I appreciate all that you're doing for the party in the country and in your state, of course. And certainly you have definitely piqued the attention of many folks outside of North Carolina. And we're going to continue to follow you and support what you're doing. So thank you, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, for joining me on Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell.
All right. Thank you for having me. We appreciate it.
I want to thank Mark Robinson again for a great interview. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review and rate us with 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions for me, please email me at outloud@gingrich360.com, and I'll try to answer them in our future episodes. And please sign up for my monthly newsletter at gingrich360.com/outloud. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Parler at Gianno Caldwell. And if you're interested in learning more about my story, please pick up a copy of my best-selling book titled Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. Special thanks to our producer, Drew Steele, researcher Aaron Klingman, and executive producers Debbie Myers and Speaker Newt Gingrich, all part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.